so much harder. We're going to release our kids for children's church. Kids, have a good time. Just get out. Go. Quick. Run. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I just got the evil eye from a little 7-year-old. I think I can take him. Maybe. Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. Hey, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in there in just a moment. Now, I want you to think about this question. Suppose that you had this thought. This thought enters your mind and that you build a house. And I know some of you have gone through a house building project, or you certainly have been a part of maybe a church building project. But think just for a moment. You have this crazy thought. You're gonna build a home. So you sit down and you come up with your supply list. You start writing down things like trusses and 2x4s and 10x12s and rough plumbing, finished carpentry and roofing and all the materials that you're going to need. And then all of a sudden your supplier that you ordered those supplies from, they find your lot that you're going to build on and they drop your supplies right in the middle of that lot. Okay? A bulldozer comes out, and you know what a bulldozer does? They kind of scrape the ground, and they kind of get it leveled off for you to start setting your forms. You got to have your forms before you start pouring your floor, and you set your rough plumbing ahead of time, and all those kind of things. And all of a sudden, they say, we can't go any further. Why? Because they put the supplies that you ordered, which you're so careful to order, and they put those right in the middle of your lot. Your bulldozer couldn't level that ground if they even tried. You got all that wood out there and shingles or tile, and they can't start the building because everything is in the way. I'm going to talk about this morning. How could this happen, you ask the foreman. Well, the foreman just kind of looks at you with this little chagrin, and they say, well, I just simply failed to plan. I failed to plan. Well, they think that's a good enough answer. Well, I've been there, and I know that some of you have been in that kind of process, and you heard a foreman or somebody that oversees a building project, and all they can say is, oops, I'm sorry, I failed to plan. I wish there were times in our life that we could just simply say, oops, sorry, bill collector, I just forgot that I owed you money, you know. Oh, oops, I forgot about the mortgage. Oops, I forgot that, I needed to work on the car today. Oops, I forgot that I had to get up and go to work today. Oops, you know, I wish we had a lot of those oops that we could just pull out of our back pockets. But we don't. Everything takes a plan to accomplish what you set out to do. Even in the rudimentary things that you have going on in your life, those rudimentary plans that require just a little thought. Let me give you what she had for breakfast this morning, right? Even that has to involve a little bit of planning in its rudimentary form. When you get the car wash, when you're going to eat that leftover pizza in the fridge before it spoils. Everything takes a little bit of plan. And when we start thinking of the bigger plans, you know, without a detailed plan, how are you going to build a house? How are you going to move forward in your walk with Christ? And you knew that I was going to kind of turn this thing around to some spiritual point, right? We're not talking about building homes. And we just got our property paid off a few weeks ago. We don't owe a dime on this place, so we're not about to go into another building project, I hope. We're going to build into what God has given us. But, you know, you need a detailed plan. And nobody can build a house, and nobody can build within their spiritual art without some kind of planning involved, without some kind of process. And I'm thinking for Mark, if shelter and food and transportation is important to him, probably Mark's going to spend a little time, thinking about this stuff, right? He's going to put a little planning into it. He's going to think, you know, and I was kind of one of those strange kids. I don't know if all junior highers think of it this way, but I remember when I was in junior high, and I was thinking about things that I would like to do a little differently than my mom and dad, because I thought junior high, I was a whole lot smarter than they were, and how I was wrong. But I remember even at a young person's age, I knew that I needed to go to college. I didn't want to go to school. I mean, you're looking at a C, average kind of guy up here. I know that doesn't, you're all saying, well, that doesn't surprise us. But we're looking at, you're looking at a guy who had to scrape and borrow and kind of look over the shoulder of the tall kid in front of you sometimes. And just to make it through algebra two. Who created algebra? I don't know. I know that we have teachers and we have math teachers, so I'll just lightly touch on that. But, you know, I don't know what that's all about. But I was that guy that just had to scrape. If it wasn't for band and PE and, let's see, home ec. You remember home ec? I don't even know if they do home ec anymore, where you make aprons and you bake a cake. And what else did we do in that class? I think that was about it. And if you can bake a cake and sew an apron, you got an A. So I depended a lot on those classes to help boost my GPA to a point where they allow Mark to graduate. So, but it was tough. I had to have this plan, and I had a plan pretty early. I remember, again, junior high, I knew that I was going to go to college. Why? Because I knew that to provide for my family, I had to make a certain income. And if I didn't go to school, right, I knew that I would have to start at the very bottom of that ladder, which you kind of have to do with a degree anyways, and you have to kind of work your way, up. But I thought with a degree, it's going to help me maybe climb that ladder a little bit faster. You know, this is just a few years before I accepted the call to go into ministry. I thought, you know, if I'm going to be able to provide for my family, if I'm going to have a wife, and if that particular wife that God has selected for me has the same vision that I have, that she's going to be kind of a stay-at-home mom. And I know that sounds a little sexist in our world today, but if you look back over time, you know, that was kind of the dream and the goal for a lot of ladies. And for Violet, she's working in a nursery right now, for Violet, that was her goal and plan too. She wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. So, you know, we've been blessed that we've been able to have a job and to be in ministry, and we've had churches, you know, prior to college where we've been full-time. We've been able to provide for that, and God's provided for that now. But we were able, that Violet was able to stay at home with our children and rear them up and raise them up and provide for their needs. And I'm not saying working moms don't do a good job. Kudos to you, because you're juggling these balls in the air and you're carrying so much of a load, and you're doing a great job. Okay, so let me say it that way. But this is the way that I was thinking, and this is my process of thinking. And I knew that I had to create a plan to make this happen. And for me, I created that plan pretty early. I was always a saver. Have you all, you know, do we have any savers in the congregation this morning? Where you make a little bit, and you don't have a whole lot left over after you pay the bills, right? And take care of the mortgage and take care of other responsibilities, putting food on the table. But we've always been able to sock away just a little bit each month. And we use those for our family vacations because they're important to us. You know, we drive cars, you know, all of them are well over 10 years old. I think the car with the lowest mile is probably 210,000 miles or something. So, you know, if you look out, Derek, you know what I mean. If you look out in the parking lot, if you see the worst car, it's usually the pastor's, right? And but God provides all that, and they start. I got in the key. I put the key in this morning, and the engine's. I got me here, so I'm good. I've never been a fancy pants. Now I saw an old car the other day that I wouldn't mind having. It was a '54 Oldsmobile. That was pretty cool. But I'm off subject now. When we're thinking about planning, and we're thinking about processing, and we're thinking about creating a new thought, you know, it requires a plan. And some plans require just a little thought. Again, what are we going to have for breakfast? You know, when are we going to be able to go over Aunt Harriet's house? When are we going to be able to do this, do that? But for me, shelter and food and transportation, like probably all of us here this morning, those are some big ones. Those require a little bit more thought. And I spend a lot of time thinking about those things and making sure that things are provided for my family. And God's always provided that. Now, if I stop for a moment and I said, you know, Mark, do you spend as much time? Now, let's give yourself a little break here, Mark. Do you spend about 75% of the time? Maybe that's still a little too high. maybe do you spend about 50% of the time that you spend thinking about your shelter and transportation needs and the food needs, clothing for your fam? Do you think at least half of that amount of time that you spend on thinking about, do you spend that on your spiritual walk? Do you spend that on your planning? So far in the message this morning, all I've done is just kind of remind us that we place a lot of importance on some of the physical necessities of life, and that's good. I know that some of you are on a very tight and fixed income, and so you have to always be thinking about that and focused on that. Food to eat, clothes to stay warm. But do we take our spiritual needs that seriously? That's the question this morning. And it's just going to be a good reminder in the message. Do we apply the same earnestness, right? The same level of importance, okay, on our spiritual walk and planning to maximize maybe our walk, or did we spend enough time maximizing our area of ministry? Do we spend the time necessary to do the planning, or do we focus more on the planning on just making a living, just getting through life, getting by? See, I want to persuade you this morning. I want to persuade you this morning to set aside some time each week beginning now. Okay, we're kind of in our official second week of the year, right? And, you know, we're midway already. Oh, my goodness, we're midway through January. And I'm thinking if we start thinking about this now, this coming year, and say, you know what, Mark, you know, I get your point. I know where you're going with this. And I'm going to start really opening my heart and my mind, my life, my walk, my ministry, my family, up to a year of planning. I'm really going to start bringing specifically in these areas of my prayer time, my devotional time, and my time in ministry. So write that down, because I don't think I gave you a spot to write that down. But I'm asking you this morning to consider those three areas in your life as you're planning out this next year: your prayer time, your devotional time, and your time in ministry. Because, you know, all of us should have a pretty committed prayer time. I'm not talking, oh, Father, the engine just blew in the car. Could you provide me with another four-cylinder? I'm not talking that when the time gets tough and rough and bring those needs to the Father. I'm not telling you you shouldn't, because he wants you to do that. He's Abba Father. He wants that relationship with us. But I'm asking you that to spend the time praying for missionaries. To continue to remember Josh Dietz in our prayers, one of our own homegrown boys who's across the sea. Be praying for the ministries of the church. Be praying for areas of need spiritually in your family members. You know, we all have family members that don't have a relationship with Christ, you know. And I wonder if this is their year to connect with Jesus. And Jesus is putting them in our path sometime this year for us to spend some time. I remember talking with Larry just a few weeks back, and he asked me specifically to pray for him on a specific day at a specific time, because he was going to sit down with his boys and talk to him about Jesus. And this was around Christmas time. They were going to get together. I imagine they were going to eventually open presents and have some good food. But he specifically asked his pastor, and probably more than just me, to say, you know what, I don't know what to say. I don't know exactly the words to express to my boys, but I know I know that they need the Lord, and I don't know exactly the words to say to them now. So, Pastor, would you pray? And so maybe there's a time in this year that is going to be their time where you are sharing the good news with them. And so what about your devotion life? Think about, God, how can I put a little bit more thought, a little bit more planning into my devotion time? Because there are gobs, I don't even know if that's a word, there are gobs of materials out there that you can use for your devotional time. We have devotional books out in the lobby that are free to you, these little Bible commentaries that you can take. And they're awesome commentary. They're just short devotionals. I read them to terminal ill patients every single day. And I'm thinking, you know, we have so much information. I can go into my phone and I can type in Christian devotions, and it will give me a devotion. It will send me a devotion every single day. And you know what? If you're like me, I type in short Christian devotions. right? Because, you know, I can, yeah, and I'm not sure if that's the best example, but I'm thinking, you know, if I can just squeeze in 5 minutes here, squeeze in 10 minutes here, you know, I'm going to be better off than squeezing God out. So that thing pops up on my phone. And if I don't read it, it's going to pop up on my phone again. If I don't open it up, guess what's going to happen at noon? What's going to happen at 2 o'clock until I read that devotional on my phone? So plan it. Think about it. Think, you know, it's not rocket science. I need to focus on my prayer life and devotional, and then also your ministry. You know that every person who attends College View is expected, who is invited, it's our desire that you're involved in a ministry area. Now, some of you have been attending here for a while. So my encouragement to you is that, you know, see me after church. Say, hey, Pastor, is there a ministry area that I can start checking out a little bit more? Can I get involved? Can I plan on making some phone calls? Can I put this in my schedule? Can I be in prayer in regards to my participation in that? And I'll put you on the right track. So you're getting where I'm going. You're getting the direction I'm sending us here this morning is our prayer and devotion time. See, that bulldozer, I'm going to come back to bulldozers because I love to sit in tractors and work on tractors. I don't get that opportunity often. But think about the bulldozer of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to keep going with this, okay? Think about the bulldozer of God's Spirit and how it often arrives on the scenes of your heart. All right, it often arrives on the scene of our heart, ready to begin some great work of building. But all of a sudden, the Spirit stops. Why? Because Mark and the rest of us at times have stuff that's just simply in the way. You know, it all of a sudden, you know, there are things that God says, it may be good, it may be right, just as Scripture says, it may be permissible, but this is not the time, this is not the place, and this is not something I've given you to do now. So all of a sudden that spirit is squashed. And he finds out that because of my poor planning, that there's these piles of disordered stuff. And I'm not saying it's always bad stuff, but there's disordered things in his way. What it simply says to everybody around that I'm just not ready for him. I'm just not ready for him to do some great work in my life, in my prayer life, my devotional life, in my ministry. The way I hope to motivate you this morning is to give you some examples from Scripture. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me. We're going to look at our first text this morning. I won't ask you to stand through each one, but I figured you need a little bit of a stretch break. It's a little warm in here. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to look at some illustrations here, some examples from the Bible, and talk about planning. We're going to first look at some Proverbs, and then we're going to look at the planning strategy of the Apostle Paul, and then we're going to look at the planning of God. So in Proverbs chapter 6, follow along with me as I read verses 6 through 8. Okay? 6 through 8. Powerful passage of Scripture. Go to the ant. We're talking about those little insects on the ground, right? A-N-T. Go to the ant, you sluggard. You should have my picture right there. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise! Exclamation point. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions, what does it say, in summer, and gathers its food at harvest. Now that's an amen. Amen. Why don't you take your seat if you would? Boy, I tell you, we can learn so much from an ant. Have you ever had an ant farm? They used to sell those things, and they probably still sell them today. I remember having one as a kid, and my mom only had one simple rule. You keep your ant farm what? Outside of, well, you tell a boy that, right? Girls never have this problem, I know. But if you tell a boy that, what's he going to do? Eventually, that ant farm is going to get in his bedroom because somebody has to watch over his ants and care for them and make sure he feeds them a cricket every once in a while or some kind of little piece of this, or I'm sure something that ants don't eat, but it tells us right here, go to the ant. What an illustration here. What an example of what we're to be like. But an ant is an example, not only because it works so hard, but because why? It plans ahead.
You remember your parents and your grandparents saying, you know, save money, plan for a rainy day. You never know when the engine's going to go out or a bill is coming that was unexpected. And you just don't want to get caught. You know, my grandfather always said, don't get caught with your pants down. I never understood what that meant. I didn't ask my grandfather too many questions. He was kind of one of those grandpas and a little scary at times. But it takes thought that in summer that we need to set up and plan. Why? Because there's going to be some needs in the wintertime. So we're given this example in Proverbs, and we're going to look at a couple more here, that we're to think about planning a whole lot different than possibly some of us are. See, the difference between planning and not planning is whether you look where you are going in the future or whether you're still kind of focused, right? Whether you're focused all your attention on the immediate, okay? The immediate, the stuff that's right in front of you. Now you focus on the future and planning for that and doing the things you think it's necessary for you to get to that spot in your prayer life and your devotional life and in your ministry. Or are you just kind of living in the here and now? Okay? You know, this fits pretty well for where I'm at right now. I feel pretty comfortable with where I'm going in the here and now. And we have all found ourselves in those positions at times, both with our physical needs and our physical desires, our wants, but also in the spiritual realm that we're talking about this morning. There's a wonderful passage of Scripture, and again, it's found in Proverbs 15, so you can make your way towards 15. And this is in verse 22. Plan fails for lack of counsel, it says. Plans fail for lack of counsel. That makes sense, right? 22. But with many advisors, it says, they succeed. Chapter 15, verse 22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Hear the wisdom. Look at the underlining issue here. Here, the wisdom of planning is being taken for granted, right? Look at the underlining issue of verse 22, that this idea of pre-planning or planning is just simply being taken for granted. You know, the author here says, don't be independent so much that you think more highly of yourself and not the counsel of probably people who are wiser than you, or at least people that God has put in your path to give you that sense of advice, that sense of encouragement, that sense of counsel, because they're going to be, in most cases, just wise people. Now focus on the wisdom of others who have gone before you. I remember being told growing up, talk to experienced and wise people because for the most part, they've learned the ins and outs, right? They've been burned. They've learned from their mistakes for, again, the most part. Some of us like to repeat our mistakes, but they've learned from their mistakes, and they've also learned from their successes. So you glean, you learn from those people. You pull from them their wisdom. So there's a simple conclusion here on this passage of Proverbs, that careful planning is a part of it, right? It's a part of what makes a person wise and productive. But the other side of that coin was telling us in the last two Proverb passages that if I'm not going to plan, what's going to happen is I'm going to be considered foolish. And I could be placing myself in a dangerous position. And keep in mind, when the devil wants you to move in the direction, and he gives you these little carrots dabbling in front of your nose, and you move in the direction that he's encouraging you to go, it's never just his goal, and I know that I say this a lot, it's never just his goal to trip you up. He's looking at the ones around you that depend on you. Because if he can take your family down, same time he takes you down, oh, believe me, he's gonna do just that. And because Scripture says if he takes a family down, he'll take the church down with it. But Pastor, doesn't it say in Proverbs? Pastor, I remember it saying in Proverbs somewhere that God has everything under control. There's probably other passages in the Bible, Pastor, where God has everything in his grasp, under his control. And yeah, it tells us that in Proverbs 16:19. In 16:19, if you look at that passage of Scripture, it says that in the heart, humans, what we do is we plan our course. But it reminds us in that passage that the Lord establishes what? Our movement, or establishes our steps, right? And this would come across that the Lord is ultimately in control of the future, and that is true. There probably wouldn't be anybody that argued that God has everything under his control, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan. I don't read that in that verse, chapter 16, verse 9. It means that we should commit our work to the Lord, that we should trust him to establish his ways in that work, but we should always be about working, about planning, about developing a process to what we do. There should be a method involved. Let's take a look at the Apostle Paul. Take your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and you're going to run right into Romans. Turn to the book of Romans, if you will. We're going to look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Let's look at the planning of the Apostle Paul. I'm just going to look at one example here, and there's several of them. We're just going to look at one example of Paul's planning from the many that we can get, certainly from the book of Acts, but from this particular letter in the book of Romans. Romans 15. Now, this is going to catch you off guard just a little bit. This is the Apostle Paul coming in and talking about the security that's found in the resurrection of our Jesus Christ. And he spends the latter parts, the last four chapters of Romans, really diving into the idea of the resurrection of Jesus. It's a wonderful passage, and it's certainly worth our time jumping into that. But in chapter 15, look with me at verses 20, and I'm going to read all the way down to verse 28. Okay. This is after he's talking about the resurrection of our Lord. He's talking about how the weak become strong through the resurrection power. And then he starts giving us a little bit of a synopsis of how this fits into his ministry. Okay, chapter 15, verses 20 through 28. It has always been my ambition. I like how he starts off here. It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. It's a lot harder, right, to break down walls before you build on it, right? Man, it takes so much time. Okay. It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why, he says, I have often been hindered from coming to you. There's been people in his way. Now let's look on. Verse 23. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to see you, he says, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. He never makes it to Spain. He dies. They chop his head off. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem. In the service of the saints there, for Macedonia and Achaia, were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it. And indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. See how things are just shared in the gospel? So after I have completed their task and have made sure that they have received this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. This is so typical. This is so typical of how the Apostle Paul carries out his mission. And as I think, as I learn from these verses about planning, it really jumps out for me when I looked over. It's essential to ministry. That, you know, all that the Apostle Paul did as he began his ministry and all of the journeys that he took, the three missionary journeys that we have. And we have hints in Scripture that he took four or five or six missionary journeys in total. But when you think about the missionary journey, the places that there had to be a lot of planning. I know when the Ellingtons have gone out on vacations, we've been blessed to spend some time together each year. It's always been important for us to catch up with one another. And we've gone out, you know, with five children. Yeah, keep in mind, five children in our family. There had to be a whole lot of planning, right? You just don't go here. You just don't go there. I tell you, a hotel room is not available to the Ellingtons. Why? We don't meet code. They expect us to get some suite, okay? Well, on a minister's salary, to get a suite or some, So there have been times where we have fudged. You know, I have pulled Violet up on a rope and snuck her in a window, you know. And I've told the kids, you know, put the beard on. I know it's a little scratchy. Walk like, you know, you're in your 90, and just, you know, just make it work. And I am confessing to you, there have been a few times that we've kind of fudged on that, that fire code thing. You know, that's no big deal, right, a fire code. But we've kind of snuck in here and there, and we figured, you know, they're little, they can sleep on the mattress while dad is comfortable in the bed. But we had to do a whole lot of planning. You know, when you're going out to dinner, you know, or you, with seven of us, you know, you have to plan those things, or it becomes what? A second mortgage, right? It becomes something that it's expensive. Well, here we have the Apostle Paul, who traveled everywhere that he went, and Paul, as we know, was the greatest church planner that had ever lived up to this point. It would be difficult for him to just come up to someone and try to accomplish this or accomplish that as he was spreading the gospel without having some kind of plan, some strategy involved. So what was his planning method? Well, we found it right there in the first verses that we read. His planning method was, I want to preach, he says. I want to preach where no one else has preached. What was his plan? What was his ultimate? I want to just preach where no one else has preached. I want to deliver a message that no one else has delivered. If anybody ever asked you, what was Paul's heart? His heart was that he just wanted to reach a people group that no one else has reached, to live and work and minister and preach like no one has done before him. Why? Because he wanted to be a showboat, because we were going to read about it someday, and we were going to be so impressed with the Apostle Paul that we were going to forget about the cross and the atonement and the resurrection of our Savior. No, it was all because of that that he says that I just want to preach to a group of people that have never heard the message before. Most of his planning, fell through. He was arrested in Jerusalem just shortly after what we just read. He went to Rome as a prisoner. And again, he probably never got to Spain. It's just like we saw in Proverbs. God is the one who finally makes the future happen. But we plan nevertheless. God uses our planning, and listen to this, even if he aborts it. You hear that? And sometimes he gets us on that plan A, you know, because he's always on plan A. I would argue the point that does he ever have a plan B or plan C? I don't feel that he has ever had a plan B. He's always got Mark. He's always got Brother Wesley. He's always got Brother Jason, Michelle, on plan A. Now, we may waver. We may jump off track. But he pulls us back to that great and ultimate plan that he has for us. And although God has this planning, he still has that option to say, you know what, I'm going to move this around just a little bit. Mark's not ready right now. I'm going to put a stop to this. I'm going to close the door, and I'm going to open this one over here. And sometimes, well, probably all the time, this is so hard for us to take. Because I tell you, I'd rather be walking than somebody to put their hand in front of my face and say, hey, stop for a while. I don't want to stop for a while. I don't want to stop, period. And I certainly don't want to be told, don't go this direction anymore. How about going this way? It's hard to take for us. For example, Paul had not planned to use Rome, though, as his basis for operation. Now, think about this. If Paul hadn't planned to go to Rome, which he ends up in Rome, okay? But if he had not planned to go to Rome as a basis of operation and then make his way to Spain, he probably wouldn't have written one of the greatest letters that we have in Scripture, and that's the book of Romans that we're just reading from. This would not exist. You might have an argument to say that God would use someone to pen his word. He would have got it in this book somehow, and you're probably right. But the Apostle Paul would not have been the author. And I'm thinking, wow, Father, thank you for just placing your plan on his heart. And Father, thank you for just opening his heart to your plan and that things just kind of move forward from this, because planning, the Apostle Paul says, is crucial to Christian living. It's crucial to my ministry, and it should be crucial to ours, even when God overrules our planning sometimes. Let's look at one more example, and that's the planning of God. The ultimate reason, for planning is this, that God is a God who plans. And where we are with this is that He has created us in His image. And the ultimate plan here is that He's going to exercise dominion, right? Authority, okay, in this earth under His lordship. And that involves us. So the ultimate reason for planning is that God is God, okay? And He plans within His created people, His created beings, and He exercises dominion over them and through all the earth under His lordship. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah. It might take you just a moment to find that book, Isaiah, okay? Now keep in mind, you got your Psalms and your Proverbs, and you just keep hooking to your right, and you'll run right into Isaiah, okay? And in Isaiah, turn with me to chapter 46. Boy, I tell you, when I ask you to turn those pages and I actually hear you turn them and you're getting your highlighter out, you know, this brand new highlighter you got for Christmas, you can't wait to use it. I'm just so excited about that. Isaiah chapter 46. And I highlighted on a couple of verses here in verse 9 and 10. This is going to float your boat. Listen to this. Chapter 46, verse 9 and 10. Remember the former things. Remember all the things that you used to be about, that they used to consume your life. Remember the former things, those of long ago. And then he says, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. And listen to this. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Don't you just love it when you were able to go back to your parents because you didn't have the right decision, or you just couldn't make the decision on your own? You didn't know which direction to go. You didn't know what was wise and what was just something that was in the flesh. And you had this wall that you can come to. And it was like this solid foundation, this structure that would not move. And then I can go to my dad, and I can go to my mom, I can ask them something. And when they told me, man, I tell you, as a child especially, I took great faith in that. But I had a grandmother that was probably the wisest of all. There was Jesus, and then there was Grandma, right? And I would go to Grandma, like our kids go to their grandmother, and they would ask her questions. I asked my grandmother questions, and she was this wise, she should have been in Star Wars, this person who spoke nothing but wisdom, and I gleaned a lot from what she said, and every time I asked her something, she didn't have to whop me on the backside or tap me on the head and say, hey, Marco, are you listening? When she spoke, it was kind of like one of those E.F. Hutton commercials from way back when she spoke, I listened, right? Because why? She was just kind of one of those gals. She was full of wisdom and she was structured. And I knew that whatever I brought to her attention, she would be patient enough to sit down with me and tell me the reasons why the way I was thinking was wrong, but also to point me in the right direction, to tell me how I can make it right. Since God is a God who does all things according to His plan, it should be important for us to approach the important things in our life with His wisdom, right? It should be important enough for us to approach things in our life with his strength and with his joy and with His love as we plan. Very specifically, my plea to you this new year is that you take time to plan the most important things in your life. And what are those important things? I gave you three of them. Prayer, your devotion time, and your ministry. Notice I didn't say your spouse. I certainly didn't say your job. I didn't say the new car you're thinking about getting in February for the prices go up. Let me assure you, the prices are always up. I gave you three to be thinking about. your prayer, your devotion, and your ministry. Take time to plan the most important things in your life. Let's close this thing down. Plan how you're going to spend time with your spouse is going to come through this devotion and this prayer and this thinking about ministry. Time that you're going to strengthen other relationship is going to be through first prioritizing the time you're going to spend in prayer and your devotion time with God and in ministry. The things that are important to you, playing and teaching your children and planning how you're going to get more exercise to stay healthier in 2018, how you're going to make a decision of getting more sleep, how you're going to try to eat a little bit better and eat a little bit more veggies and fruits and things like that. All of these things, I believe, will be strengthened and they will find even rest in your spiritual renewal. So focus on your prayer time, your devotion time, and your time of ministry. See, make planning a regular part of your life is the bottom line of the message this morning. And if you do that, and if you involve these other things, all of a sudden the things that you do, the things that we at one time might have pushed aside, all of a sudden, you know, Mark, you're just asking me to make some decisions here and make some planning on things that will have a kingdom impact and then would also bless other areas of my life. That's exactly what I'm encouraging you to do. So my plea to you is that you set aside some time this week. Did you hear me? I didn't say wait till February or March or sometime around October, but I'm just encouraging you this morning. I don't want to be too sassy with that, but I want to plead with you to set aside some time this week to plan, specifically to plan your life around your prayer time, devotional, and your ministry. For example, since Sunday is the first day of the week, you know, it's not the last day of the weekend, by the way. It's the first day, right? It's the first day of the week. Say that, you know, the first day of the week, Sundays, are really important to me. They belong to the Lord. So what I'm going to do is that on the very first day of the week, which would be today, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to make a plan. I'm not going to wait for my husband to get his act together. I'm going to move forward with this, okay, because I'm a woman of virtue. I'm going to lead if he fails, right? I'm going to continue to move forward with my walk. So I'm going to set up a time of prayer, and I'm going to get one of those one-year Bible. If I don't have one, the pastor says he'll give me one. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start my devotion time. I'm going to pick up one of those little daily breads out there in the lobby. And I'm going to start with maybe a quick little fight. I'm going to get online. I'm going to have something sent to my phone each and every day. So what you're doing is you're saying, I'm going to take 10 or 15 minutes each day, starting on the first day of the week because it's the most important to me. And I'm going to think through this. I'm going to give some thought on how God might want to do some things in my life that he's never done before. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to really plan, and all that I plan to do will be for his glory. Right? Let's pray. Well, Father, thank you for your blessings, and thank you for your word this morning, Father. The blessings